Hey, and welcome and welcome and welcome again to everyone to another version of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I am so excited about this conversation. And this will cover the next 2 weeks. Starting with today, I will upload the first one that we had today. But I'm excited because we are continuing on with last week's self-evaluation topic. But this week, I'm so excited because I got a man who I've known my whole life, one of the biggest influences in my life. He's one of the smartest, one of the wisest people I know. And I'm not just saying that just to say it. This is my uncle. This is my bloodline. This is number 2 of 9 when it comes to all of my uncles and aunties and my mother. My grandma had 9 children, and this is number 2 of the 9. And I cannot go far enough talking about how intelligent, how brilliant this man's mind is, my uncle's mind is. And so without further ado, I just want you to get into the episode. I'm going to be talking to my uncle, Burtis Jordan. Many people know him as Squeaky. Many people just know him as Burt. But you're going to really enjoy this conversation between me and Burt. We talk about self-evaluation. We start the conversation off talking about my grandma, Miss Jordan, the amazing woman that she was. We start talking about how she established the foundation in self-evaluation. This is a conversation that you definitely do not want to miss. So without further ado, this is episode, I believe, 12. A Wonder Why with L Wonder featuring Burtis Jordan, and we are talking about self-evaluation part 2. Enjoy. My guest today for the show is my uncle. He is one of the most smartest people to me that I know. He's one of the most smartest people that I know. I don't say stuff just to blow smoke, but he really is. I always looked up to this guy. Whenever I got questions about something, whenever I need some insight about something, I always give him a call. We have conversations that last about an hour. Also, he is a wrestling fan. So we can talk about everything from wrestling to politics to what's going on in the country to what's going on with the family to anything. And I really just want y'all to really want to shout out this guy. You know, one of the, like I said, one of the most intelligent, one of the most down to earth, one of the most humble people that I know, my uncle. We call him Squeaky. Many people know him by Squeaky, but my uncle Burt. How you doing, Burt?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing real good, man. I'm so excited to have you on the show, especially with a topic like what we're going to be talking about now, because this topic, I think, is necessary right now. I think with a lot of things that people are going through, with a lot of things that we're seeing out here, whether it's the racism, whether it's the politics, whether it's the who's doing what, who's saying what, how, and are we telling the truth, whatever the case may be, we're going to be talking about self-evaluation. So before we get into that, Burt, is there anything you want to give any welcomes, you want to give it any shout-outs?
Oh, man, shoot. Just shout-out to the... Shout out to the whole Jordan family. You know, there's too many of you all to name. You know, this is only our show, so But just shout out to the family, you know. All about the fam, all about the fam.
That's right. That is definitely true. And I do wanna most definitely shout out to the Jordans, because it's a bunch of us, and you know, it's through these conversations, like I said, we people are trying to build a lot of history behind their family, but that's why I really wanted to have you on here, because we was talking a couple weeks ago. We was talking last week, as a matter of fact, last week when my dad was over, and you was just telling me about some of the stuff that went down with the family, some of the different things that goes on with the family, who this is and how that person is and how this went along. And I just sat back and thought, like, you know what, we don't have a matriarch or patriarch, so to say, anymore. But that's how I look at you when it comes to our family, is
And it's huge to go into that, but I really just want you to know, if I never said it to you before, that's how I look at you, man.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Oh, wow.
So in saying all of that, that's why when we get to I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, I was going to say it's funny because I think about that sometimes because I am one of the oldest and, you know, I was around for a lot of the things that happened. So that's how a lot of the things I tell you is, you know, firsthand account. You know, firsthand account, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of things to go down. And it's nice to, you know, keep those stories and keep those traditions that we all, you know, we all have, keep them things alive, you know, to know the things that happen down throughout our family. You know, I really want somebody to write a book or to do a movie because it'd be perfect.
It's definitely a lot of stuff, I think it's a lot of entertainment. I think it will be a lot of lessons. I think it'll be a lot of growth. It'll be a lot that can come from it. I never thought about that, but I think that would be amazing if somebody sat down and just wrote about the family.
I mean, as a family, you know, like most families, we've overcome a lot. We've been through a lot. We've overcome a lot. You know, it's made us all better people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to a certain extent, it at least it taught me, you know, that we can only depend on us. You know what I'm saying? It's a bunch of us, and it takes all of us to help one another. You know, not all the time, you know, but you know when someone is really down, mm-hmm. you know, especially in these times, you know. So
it, you know, you're telling the truth when it comes to that, because I know that it was certain family members that I did not, that we might have been distant for whatever reason, or we might have been going through something, or we might at odds with each other, whatever the case may be. But as soon as something happened, that them family members, the same family members that I was at odds with or didn't like at the time, or whatever the case may be, was right there to say, okay, I got your back. Or the same family member that didn't like me, I was able to say, hey, I got your back. What you need? So I do love that dynamic. Me and Amanda talks about that all the time.
Yep.
Just about how we can be mad at each other. We can be mad at each other. We don't have to like each other all the time.
Yeah.
Let them jump off.
Yeah. And you know what? That is actually a part of the topic we're talking about. That comes through self-evaluation. Because after a while, you figure, you know, some things are bigger than just my petty disagreement I have with someone. You know, some things are bigger than that. So, you know, that comes after you get after you get older and wiser.
I'm just can you get wise without me getting old though? I'm trying.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm trying to get wiser, and I'm sick. I'm aching and stuff like that. Started telling me I'm getting older too. So
you don't see a lot of young wise people.
No,
sometimes
you do. Sometimes. Yeah. But see, I mean, and I like that. Like, I do know that we do have some people like that. Like, but it's so funny because I don't know if you heard of it, but Baby Terry got a podcast and he just had Rayshawn on it.
Uh-huh.
And Baby Terry talked about this for a while. And we talked about, he was like, it's certain people that I would love to have on my podcast, but I'm trying to figure out how I would have them on the podcast. And when we was talking about this, he said, you know what? Because we mentioned Rayshawn, and the reason why, because Rayshawn is unfiltered, but at the same time, Rayshawn has this point of view that can be very beneficial. But if it's not put in the right perspective, somebody can take it the wrong way. With your podcast being geared towards a certain audience, you got to be careful to make sure that, especially now in this cancel culture thing,
that
certain things are explained and broken down and not just thrown out there to be taken the wrong way. But what I liked about it is Baby Terry took the conversation, and the dude is powerful in what he do. He took the conversation and he was able to guide it and lead it into what came out to be a real powerful conversation Real Powerful Podcast. So if you anybody got time, I definitely suggest you go out there and listen to Chaos Theory, at least this last episode that aired on Thursday, because it was amazing.
I listened to the one that you were on there with.
Oh yeah. So that we had a real good conversation back then. We had a real good conversation, and that's why I always like Baby Terry being on here on my podcast. That's why I'm looking forward to you. I've been looking forward to you being on here. But that was so dope. Like, it's one thing that caught me off guard about that. He asked Rayshawn to be on his podcast, and Rayshawn said, "I'll be on there, but I need my big brother to be on there with me." And I thought that I was taken back from that. It taught me a lot. Yeah, it did. It took me back, because I was like, the way that Rayshawn, and I didn't realize this then. I knew when we was younger how my little brother looked up to me, but I didn't realize that he still looks up to me in that same manner. Rayshawn told me, he said, "Lamar, you was Simone said, "What's up, Bert?" She said, "What's up, Squeaky?" So I got both windows open. He said, "Hey, Lamar." But I didn't realize Rayshawn still looked up to me like that. Can you talk to, because like you are number two in a line of nine.
Yeah.
So how do you get that type of respect? How do you get that type of homage from your younger siblings?
Ooh.
My fault. I know we're supposed to be talking about self-evaluation.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know. It comes from a couple different things. One, I was, for a long time, I was the only male in the house. Mm-hmm. I was the oldest, and I was the only male in the house. So I think part of it comes through that. And another part of it comes through just, I'm always the one that they come to when something is going on. You know, they all want my input on it. Now, it doesn't mean that they listen to what I say. let's understand. It doesn't mean that they listen to what I say. It also doesn't mean that what I say is correct. What I try to do is just give them a different perspective. Look at it from this way also. You know, the more choices you have, the better chance you have to make the right decision instead of just, I believe anyway. So I just try to present different choices to them.
I like that. I like the fact that you, first off, you said that it's not, you don't, when you're talking to them, you're not trying to force your way down their throat. You're not trying to force your way on them, but you're giving them different options and respecting them enough to let them make the choices.
Right.
So I get that. I definitely get that. Right. That's a hard part. And I say that as a father, that's a hard part right now to me, because I got an 18-year-old son who just moved out. So the balance, the transition in our relationship has just shifted. Where at first I was a disciplinarian. At first I'm the overseer. I'm the authoritarian.
Yeah. Our
relationship just shifted to now I have to be the observer.
Yeah. And
advice. And give him advice if he wants it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to push him away. So I don't want to come down. This is what you need to do. This is what you, every single time, because I know how I was with that.
Yeah.
And my dad. Sometimes
the hard thing as a parent is allowing your child to fall so they learn how to pick themselves up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We always want to be there to catch them. But if we always catch them, they'll never learn how to keep their balance.
That's good.
So sometimes they have to hit the ground. They have to learn how to pick themselves up and then go on, you know. It's just like, you know how sometimes a baby will fall or something and they'll start crying. They'll look around and see who's going to do something. And when no one does anything, they just get up and just start walking. That's sometimes you have to let that. Sometimes you have to let that happen. Sometimes people have to learn, you know, okay, we still got to go on. Still got to go.
So what is there anything that you like? What do you do? Are you watching it? Are you observing it? Because I know you got a son that's older and
it starts to change as they get, as your child gets older, the relationship starts to change a little bit. You're going to always be the parent. But like you said, you were the authoritarian. Mm-hmm. He's no longer in the house. So the authoritarian part kind of changes now. Now you have to be something different. Now you're a father, but you also have to be the friend and the advisor, you know, mm-hmm. the person to oversee. And hopefully he comes to you when he wants to make big decisions or something, mm-hmm. you know, or at least want to, whether he tells you or he wants your advice from you.
Yeah.
You want him to be able to come to you. You want to be a part of it.
So, see, Baby Terry look like Baby Terry just popped in or whatnot. What's up, cuz?
What's up, nephew?
So, Baby Terry, see, that helps. A lot of what you're saying, it helps. And it does coincide with what Baby Terry, me and Baby Terry were just talking about yesterday and then last week. See, and that's like, okay, so I just got super excited. I want to say Thursday. Yeah, it was Thursday. On my way, picking up Shamar and letting her drive home. That's another situation that's going on. Shamar's driving. So
They tested my heart.
I got one child that just moved out into his own little apartment, and I got another child who's driving, she's 17. She is a year away. She less than a year away from being an adult herself.
Wow.
But as I was driving, as she was driving home, LJ called me and he said, yeah, Serenity left something over here. I said, okay, no problem. I'll come get it this weekend. He's like, he said, so when we was about to get off the phone, because my thing now is just like we said, I'm trying to stay distant. I don't want him to feel like, because as soon as I move out, Dad, you're still over my back. You're still trying mm-hmm. to run. And so I'm kind of backing up, giving him his space. I check in mm-hmm. with him. I text him and tell him, hey, I'm here. Right. I love you. You know, you want to talk, whatever. Right. But I don't try to force myself. So I'm like, okay, there's no problem. We'll get that taken care of. And as I'm about to get off the phone, he said, hold up, Dad, hold up. We ain't talked to him almost. It seemed like we ain't talking about a week. What's going on? Yeah. I felt good because I'm like, now he wants to come and he want to talk to me. And he want to just talk about nothing. It's okay. But I did feel good. And I agree with that. Like, you step back and I do see the relationship shifting. On that. But Baby Terry was just talking, and Baby Terry, I'll give you shout outs because Baby Terry, if anybody didn't know, this podcast is now on so many different platforms. We are moving on to so many different platforms. I'm gonna still keep doing the Facebook Live, but what I'm also do is you can find me on a variety of platforms. I'm on Anchor, I'm on Breaker, I'm on Google Podcasts, I'm on Pocket Podcast, Radio Public, and Spotify also. I will be on Apple and CastBox and Overcast soon. But just to remind you, if you're just now joining in, and I do got one of the smartest people, one of the most intelligent people, one of the most wisest people I know, and this is he is my bloodline. He is one of my uncles. Bert, we call him Squeaky. Many people know him as Squeaky, but we call him, we also know him as Bert. Bert, I always said that I always felt like when we was growing up, grandma having us watching Wheel of Fortune, and then she having us watching Jeopardy. I always said, you were supposed to be on Jeopardy.
Yeah, I always wanted to be on Jeopardy.
Because you just got like mounds of random facts.
Random knowledge about nothing.
But see, it's cool because it's coming up now. Like politics, like I love your view on politics, and I love your view on what's going on out here in the world, because you're not biased to the point where no matter what, if it don't make sense, I'm not going to talk about it. Like you, if it has to make sense for you. And that's what that part of self-awareness, that self-evaluation. Yeah. So what is self-evaluation? So we can finally get on topic, but I love this conversation. What is self-evaluation to you?
Self-evaluation to me is like, I told you this before. I say it's like when you have your computer and you want to search and see if it has any kind of viruses or anything, you do a self-diagnostic, you just mm-hmm. check over yourself. A lot of it comes with experience, or experience teaches you how to do it better. Because a lot of things you learn from it when you go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You have to go through some things sometimes. Mm. Not all the time. Hopefully some things are common sense, but sometimes you have to go through some things. That's why, you know, younger people are always trying to tell you that, you know, it ain't like that now. And back in my day, no, it's the same thing. It's just, they just call it something different. Same thing. We all still go through the same stuff growing up. We all think that we grown when we get 18, 19, 20, We think we got the world in front of us. We don't think about, you know, we want to get all the credit cards and everything. We don't think about all the debt we're going to get later, you know, that's going to hurt us down the road. We don't think about that then. You know, as you get older, you think back and be like, man, I shouldn't have did this. I shouldn't have did this. You know, but that's part of the self-diagnostic, you know, or the self-evaluation, self-awareness type of thing going on. You have to go through something and make your plan like, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to make that mistake again. You know, so I think that's kind of just life.
I like life. Yeah. Self-evaluation, what you're saying is self-evaluation, it peaks or it's better or it's improved when you're going through, when you have been through something to give you a measuring.
Yeah.
I definitely get that. Yeah. So when it comes to self-evaluation, what's some things that what would you say are like some of the few most important things or most important factors? Like for me, I would say one of the most important factors with self-evaluation is honesty. Because for me, I think you have to be self-evaluation. You got to be real honest with yourself.
With yourself. I always say that. Always say you have to be honest with yourself before you can be honest with anyone else. You have to be honest with yourself first.
And see, most people think that that's automatic.
Yeah.
This is why I want to do this podcast, because I understand the concept. Most people think, oh, I'm not, because you, especially when they start talking about the realist and being 100%, I'm 100, and all that stuff. Like, I think everybody thinks in their own minds to an extent that they are real, that they are honest, that they are
true. Listen, listen. If a person has to tell you they real, they're not real. A real person knows a real person. That's why real people don't have to say that they real. They already know. You know.
See,
but also, look, some things you have to go through, but some things that at the same time you just, this is my problem. A lot of people will take the self-diagnostic thing or self-evaluation, and then whatever the outcome comes, they're okay with it. They're settled with it. Like, oh, well, shoot, I just got a bad temper. You don't mind your temper keep getting you put in jail. I just got a bad temper. You know,
it becomes justifying. One of my coworkers said, I am the realist. Yeah, okay, Carl, I hear you. That was cute. That was cute. But you're absolutely right. Like, that's where I get thrown off, because everybody's, when you start saying I'm the realist, it becomes that justification. And
just sound like you're trying to convince yourself. That's what
That's like, and I'll be honest, look, and I don't have a problem with this. Is what the podcast is for. Simone said, yes, being transparent helps people take you serious, and in return, they will absorb the wisdom you're trying to plant in. That's so true. Simone, I'm gonna take that for a minute. And I'm gonna be transparent with myself. And I'm gonna give an example of being real. I'm gonna give an example of being transparent. I had to realize, I had to realize that at one point in time in my marriage to Sharia that I lied my ass off. And I hate to say it like this, but I had to realize, Lamar, you lying. Like, you just, and this is when I realized it. I realized that I was a liar when I realized I was lying about stupid stuff. Like, I was lying about, did you take the trash out? Or did you put the, and that's when it clicked in my head. Like, cause I always felt like I'm not a liar. I'm as honest, I'm truthful and this and that and this and that. But it had to come to a realization within me that, dude, you lying for no reason. You grown as ever and you lying for no reason. Like, you lying about, did you take the trash out? Did you put that $20 back in the bank? Did you do it? So what happened to me is I had to realize you are lying. Like, before I would give all these justifications or these reasons. Well, of course, I mean, all it was just this. But when it hit to me that this is who I am and this is what I'm doing, that's when I had to take hold of it first. Yeah. Like most of us, we see, and we just like you said, we start justifying it.
Yeah.
We instead of accepting that that's because that's when I was able to start making a difference. Instead of justifying, instead of pacifying, instead of, well, I just got a bad attitude. Like, how many of us can really say, and I'm not saying this because I see Simone is watching, but how many of us can really say, I know I got an attitude, and let me do something to transition it. Let me do something to work on it. Let me do something to fix it.
You know, it should be about us making ourselves better. You know what I'm saying? If you want to make yourself better, then, and you know, and don't get it confused with making yourself better, you being soft or some junk like that. Don't confuse it with that. No.
So humility, that's the that pride can play a whole factor in self-evaluation.
You know, pride is like cancer, man. Pride will eat you away. You know.
And I like we know about cancer. I hate cancer so much. Look, it didn't take out a lot of people, but that's the truth. So if you could, when you start saying something is like cancer, it should trigger some stuff in a lot of our heads because it does. It deteriorates the whole body. It deteriorates everything, any living, any growing function.
And the thing is now, society now promotes pride. It's promoting the pride. I mean, that's what. You know, a lot of people on social media competing with people they don't even know about everything. Competing with people they don't even know. You know, it's the pride thing. Sometimes you have to ease it back, and you know, you don't always have to have the last word. You don't always have to, you know, get the one up on somebody. So, you know, sometimes you can just let it go.
That's heavy. That's heavy. I think that's where that whole, and I understand a lot of people, especially when it comes to biblical text, you know, I like one thing I always say is I'm unapologetically Christian. I'm unapologetically Black. I'm unapologetically, you know, male. I'm father, husband. But so I always love referencing the Bible because that's what got me through a lot of things myself. But it talks about how pride comes before the fall. But it also talks, you know, how that famous verse that nobody likes that Jesus said, if somebody slap you, I think that was the concept. It wasn't saying you got to be a sucker and let somebody beat you up or slap you again. But I think it was just like, you got to be wise enough to say, is this worth it? Is it really, really worth it?
Yeah.
It's stepping up and telling them, checking them, telling them off. Is that worth it? Because, I mean, how have you seen that? Have you seen any examples of relationships that had that pride would mess up or pride would hurt?
I mean, it's just I don't think it's so much pride. I think it's more not being satisfied. We don't know how to be content.
That's a good one.
We don't know how to be content. Because we're taught to want more. We're taught to, you know, bigger and everything. We're taught to compare ourselves to something that's out of our reach. We don't know how to be content. And that's biblical too. You know, to learn to be content in all things. We don't know how to be content.
That's good. Amanda just started her bachelor's degree. And one of her classes, I can't remember, the college that she's going to is a Christian-based college. But that's one of her first assignments was to talk about contentment. How do you think that plays a part into self-evaluation?
Well, if the thing that you are doing is making you better, bettering you as a person, as a family, as a collective, fine. If it's just to stroke your ego, just to say I have whatever, it doesn't matter if you have 5 degrees and you don't have a job in any of the fields you have degrees in.
That's the truth. And don't
you just have degrees? You just have degrees, you know, and probably a lot of debt. So just to have something, just to have it is meaningless. It has to affect something that you're doing. or a goal that you're setting. And that's something else we talked about, setting goals.
And
setting goals, you know, as individuals and as families, you know.
So that's one of the reasons why we, and I'm excited, I'm really excited about the first Sunday in February when mm-hmm. we got this, when we start our Sunday fun day, our family Sunday fun day. Our Zoom Sunday fun day. I got a couple different events that's lined up, a couple different games and stuff like that, and I think we're gonna have a good time. Because I miss my family. You know, we get to, we talk, we got so many stories. We talk about how certain we talk about all the different stories about Miss Jordan. And trust me, I know many people, many of our friends on Facebook are, they got their own stories about Miss Jordan. How Miss Jordan had the biggest heart. She would let any and everybody stay with them. But then, what I always talk about in my job, I talk about how I got this from grandma, where I can cuss you out and make you say thank you afterwards. And this already has happened multiple times. But she did. She did. She had that ability to cuss you out and make you say thank you. We talking about self-evaluation. Like, what did you get? What did you get? What did you see from your mother, from my grandma, when it came to how she viewed herself, how she taught y'all? Because she was from the South, so she
school stuff. Yeah, mama was from the South, so she had a Southern upbringing. She had a lot of Southern, some of those old morals and things that you get from the South. You know, like there were some things that wasn't happening with her. Kids weren't gonna be in the room with grown folks. You had to be in another room. That ain't happening. It ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? Dishes had to be washed at a certain time, and it better not be a dirty dish in the sink when she woke up. You know.
couldn't go back in the kitchen afterwards. Then.
Yeah, you know, we had chores we had to do. We had a lot of things, and that just came by how she was brought up. But one thing she always stressed was us going to school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that. Well, I you know, every parent, you know, say their kid needs to go to school. They need to go to school. Mm-hmm. But my mother used to say that all of our diplomas are going to be on her mantelpiece, all of them. And mm-hmm. I never knew why she stressed it so much till I got older. And then I found out that she never finished school. Mm. She was going to make sure her kids at least finished school. Something that she didn't do because it kept her out of so much, you know, later on in life, you know, so that's part of that self-evaluation too, you know, making sure the mistakes that you made, your child don't make those mistakes, you know what I'm saying? Or the best of your ability, have them avoid those things.
That's true.
Best of your ability.
That's the challenge, and that within itself is a huge parenting thing. That we naturally want for our children, but then as I got older, I start realizing that it's more of a challenge. I watch Amanda, and Amanda I feel like what me and Sharia made every attempt to do, and when it comes to education in this household, we lack that because I don't have a problem with saying it. When I was in school, I was not the smartest person in school. As a matter of fact, I was that kid that would read, and I would, instead of, because I couldn't read as proficient as other people, and as some people might see, I can stutter or I can flip over my words or whatever the case may be. Because of that, I would, whenever it came to me reading, I started off with trying to read, and everybody started laughing at me, talking about me, to the point where whenever she started trying to get me to read, I just start cracking jokes about people. Start talking about people.
Yeah.
Like, somebody say something, but that's why your mama got a black tongue or something like that. Like I randomly start cracking on people or something like, just to cover up. So, and then Sharia, she had the same type of situation going on in school where, you know, she got into some trouble during her middle school. So she didn't go through any of her middle school years. So when she came back to school, instead of them teaching her, instead of them bringing her back, they labeled her with a learning disability. So for me and her, our mentality, we want our kids to be better. We want our kids to be a lot better than what we was at. That's one thing. And one thing that I can see how God designed certain things in a positive manner. Because with her now, with Amanda being here, Amanda brought a different level of expectation when it comes to education into the household.
Okay.
Saying all of that to say that. That's, Amanda, she brought a whole different level. It was because of the push that Amanda got, that Amanda gave us, that I did go back to school and I did get two more degrees. That LJ did go to school, and he, because at first LJ didn't feel like he could graduate. Shamar's taking college courses, and I'm glad she's going back in school. Serenity's getting straight A's. but she did, she pushed that. One thing that I say that in agreement with what you said about grandma, how she pushed all of her kids getting their degrees. What is something else that you feel like she pushed on everybody that you can see through, it runs through with everybody?
Well, I always say mama was really big on family. I think that's why we're as close as we are, you know. And it's sad because I see a lot of families, they're not as close as we are, and there's more of us. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of families where there's fewer people and they don't get along, they don't talk half the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have our scrapes and squabbles and everything else. It's too many of us for us to get along all the time.
Uh-huh. I mean,
you know, after a while, you just forget about it. You just move on, you know?
I agree.
She, like I said, she was real big on family. She was real big on, you know, holiday type things.
Mm-hmm.
She's always big on, you know, mama always wanted to have a good time. She always, the music was always going.
He was big on music. Like,
yeah. You know, I think that's where I got my love of music from. I think that's, you know, where we all get it from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you always know there's music playing.
I agree, because it goes all the way down to my kid. It's so funny because Serenity was up there. She was doing her chores last week. And while she do her chores, she got to the point where she turned on her own music. And she learned, because she learned how to turn the Apple Music on the TV in the living room. She just be vibing out doing her own thing. So I think that's funny how we pick up certain things. And it does tie into self-evaluation, because when you look at, and Rayshon said something very important. I don't know if he knew what he would, to the full extent of what he was saying, but he was talking to us Thursday, and he was talking about how certain things has been passed from his, through his father, to from his grandfather to his father to him. Mm-hmm. But in, he touched on it. He tapped into generational curses, generational blessings, but generational ties. And how those things are played. And you got to be real careful to evaluate. You got to be able to be mindful to evaluate that, because it is certain things that pass through your generation that you do want to pass on to your children, but it's other things you want to avoid it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my fault.
No, I was just going to say, there is. I think there are, you just want better. First of all, you want better for yourself, you know, so that you can make things better for your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people don't understand. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Mama was on welfare for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Till I got old enough to watch my brothers and sisters. And then my mother went and started working.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, mama didn't work. But one of the things that she instilled in me, and I should have said this earlier, one, I saw my mother get up early in the morning, every morning.
Mm-hmm.
First, she'd iron my brothers and sisters' clothes for school, and then she'd get ready, and she'd get in that car, and she'd go out to the Stouffer's food plant to go to work every morning, early in the morning. I don't remember her being sick. I don't remember her being home during the day, Monday through Friday. You know, not till she stopped working, but while she was working, she was at work every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every day I get my behind up and I go to work. Calling off just because I'm tired.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing. We talked about that. Was another thing. And, you know, it's funny because I just had this conversation with Baby Terry. I said, I'm be honest with you. I'm stuck in between two generations. And this is why. Because on one side, just like you said, the generation before me taught me always go to work. Don't make no excuses. You know, whatever happens, you just need to go ahead and put your feet down and just get to going. You know, don't make no excuses. Deal with what you got to deal with. And then on the other side, the other side of the generation is teaching, talking about self-care and self-love and make sure you take your mental health days. And so now I'm not speaking against that because I just did a series on self-care.
Okay.
But I was telling baby Terry, I said, I'm stuck in the middle because I can see the benefit. I can see the benefit from both. I can see the importance and the value of both. Now it's about creating a balance. Mm-hmm. So we just had that same conversation about people calling off because they're sick and all this other stuff. And I feel the same way now, especially with my job, the type of, since I'm a manager, I can't call off.
Right, yeah.
it makes you self-evaluation. So in a sense, in that self-evaluation made me check myself and make some differences, not just check yourself.
Yeah.
We've gotten 40 minutes into this conversation talking about family and self-evaluation. Now I want to be able to talk about, so how can you make a difference? What can you do differently? I think it's about action. Like,
yeah. Yes. You have to make the choice to do better, and then you have to put that thought into motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just keep thinking about it, wanting to do it. Sooner or later, you have to do it. You know.
Baby Terry said, this is amazing to learn. Simone said, I had always seen the Jordans as hard workers and never let anything stop y'all. In my Salvation Army years, I admired y'all togetherness, and I knew that my sister would be almost definitely. But see, that's the thing about it. Like, and you don't know how much that does inspire people, how much that does lift up people. And Simone, you know, you showed me the same thing, especially going through what we went through with Sharia and the cancer and stuff like that. How you were there through everything, and you know how that never die attitude, that never die mentality, and it rolled off into her.
You know, I was thinking about something to go back to the self-care thing. Because self-care, you can do that. You know, I don't want to apologize because I was laughing about it till I had to really think about it. Is that, yeah, you need to take some self-care. But your self-care shouldn't take away from work. It shouldn't take away from your ability to make money to support yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about almost everything I think about I bring to my mother. Her self-care a lot of times was when we weren't home. Salvation Army was really a big blessing to her, mm-hmm. because it got her kids out the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, she had 9 kids. She had grandkids. It got everybody out the house.
Uh-huh.
She had the house to herself, whether she wanted to cook or to watch Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy or anything uh-huh. else. She
Get got her time night.
Herself to, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. It's more of having some time alone to yourself to, you know, have your own thoughts.
I agree. You know,
I think that's more self-care than anything else.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. That's the big narrative that I really wanted to push when we did have that conversation about self-care, which I will be posting this week on a podcast, which, just like I just said before, it is on Anchor, on Breaker, on Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify. It will be on Apple Podcasts as well real soon. And saying that, like, once again, I just want you to know, if you're just now joining in, I got my amazing, my very intelligent, my super smart, my wise, one of the wisest Jordans out here. And I will say this, and I'm not exaggerating, I put whoever up against it. But my uncle, many of y'all know him as Squeaky. Some people call him Bert. But yeah, my uncle Bert is on here with us, and he is definitely giving us some, dropping some knowledge, dropping some.
You only get wise if you make a lot of mistakes. Believe me. You only get wise if you make a lot of mistakes.
Well, I'm going to be real wise then. So I'm going to be one of the wisest out here because I made a bunch of mistakes.
There you go.
But in saying that, I really do, like, and what I was talking about earlier, when I was lying, when I had to check myself about lying,
yeah.
and we talked about this a little bit before. This is what I had to start doing when I heard myself lie. When I actually would go out there from here, and when I made the decision, okay, I got to get this together. I can't be lying like this. Whenever I would find myself lying about something, she say, if anybody would ask me something and I find myself lying, I had to humble myself enough to go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry. That was a lie. This is what I really meant. So I had to catch myself in the midst of the situation, start checking myself where I had to be, get over my pride, because the pride would have been able to stop me, because the pride would have prevented me from checking myself or telling somebody, you know what? I just lied to you. Mm. So I had to be humble. I had to humble myself to even be able to admit that I was lying when it happened. And I had to start catching myself. And what that started doing, it started preventing me, because I don't want to tell nobody else that, you know, you just asked me that, and I just lied to you just that fast, or I just lied to you just that quick. Yeah. So now I got to start checking myself to prevent myself from doing it.
Yeah.
So that's the action that we're talking about. That's one action that I'm talking about when it came to me lying. And I just say that, like I said, I don't have a problem with being straight up because I'm human.
Yeah.
I'm going to be wise when I get older. I'm going to be real. It's starting now because I made a bunch of mistakes.
And you know what else I found, well, first of all, we're people of habit.
Mm-hmm.
We're people. That's why it became so easy for you to lie, because it became a habit. And before you know it, you're doing it. You look up and be like, dang, I just lied about that. I didn't even have to. Like, what'd I do that for? You know, and that's how we are. And especially if it starts to come so easy to us, then we can get away with something. You know, that's just like people, you know, that you know, someone just steals small item. They don't care. Take a cigarette lighter. You know, everybody know people that they gonna take your cigarette lighter.
Or a pen.
Uh-huh. Yep, or your pen. You know, oh, you ain't taking my pen. You ain't taking my pen. but you just do it, and it becomes so easy that you just take stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, or it becomes so easy that you just lie even when you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it become easy to, you know, you don't have to, you can have a bad attitude, walk around with attitude all the time, because you don't like dealing with people. I don't want to deal with nobody, so I don't want to walk around like this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes just so easy like that.
It do.
And it's hard to break those habits. That's the thing, because it is a habit. So it's hard to break them, but you have to make a conscious decision to not do those things.
Mm-hmm. You actually got to just like you said, making conscious decisions. And see, this is what I like to do. I like to, especially on the podcast, I like to take certain things like this. And then, just like I said, not leave it to where, okay, well, we already know you got to evaluate yourself. Okay, now what do we need to follow through with? Just like you said, make a conscious decision. What are you thinking? You got to think it through. If you got to write stuff down. Simone said, oh, yeah, she used to steal chapstick and lighters. funny story. Simone, I look.
Uh-oh, Simone.
When me and Sharia first met, she was a klepto, and she told me it wasn't like she just the whole. Let's not be judgmental. Ain't nobody. I don't care what nobody said. Just like you said about the food stamps. Look, do we just be real? People go through real life stuff. People go through, and they do. Like I know I used to steal because it was something that I wanted that we didn't have enough to have. So guess what? When I'm seeing other people bragging about it, laughing about it, they got this. That's what you do. You're gonna be equal too. So it was easy. So it's so crazy because when we first got together, the first thing she gave me was she went to Geauga Lake and she stole this little army teddy bear because she knew that I was in the military. So but then after that, it was so crazy because we went to a Bible study that Cornell had at the Salvation Army. And from that Bible study, that's what challenged her to correct her actions. As far as stealing, because from there on out, she like, you know what? This is what her thing. This is what I used to do. So I'm gonna have to break myself. And from there, when she wanted something, now she, and that helped me, because you know, we would make a way. We would get over. We would hustle our way, our butts off in any way possible. If we wanted something, we know how to work it out to get it. I was doing Don LaPree get rich quick schemes, everything. But she showed me and taught me how to do it the legit way, how to do it the right way, how to do it And if you don't have it right, if you don't have enough to get it right now, that means you don't need it right now. So can you talk about, I know we got a little bit more time to go, but can you hit me with something that you had to, because I want them to know, you know, it's real out here. Can you with something that you had to just challenge yourself with, that in some way that you had to come through it?
Look, I wasn't always a really good person. I wasn't. I used to get into a lot of trouble. A lot of times I got in trouble around the neighborhood we lived in, but then I got smart enough to know, shoot, as soon as mama come barreling around that corner, I know the telephone gonna go off and they gonna tell everything I did so I'm gonna get in trouble. So I started hanging out on the west side and getting in trouble out there. Then, you know, I was young. I was 18, 19, 20, something like that. I was young, getting in trouble. Got into a lot of trouble. And I just reached the point where I was getting into a lot of trouble up until about the age of like 25. And like 25, I just, you know, I just made a decision that I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to keep going through the same junk I was going through all the time. You know, the same people I was around, hanging around, was doing the same thing. Same people that was drinking beer over in Margolino Stoop was still over there drinking beer in Margolino Stoop. Same people that was doing the same stuff was doing the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something different. I remember praying to God, you know, if he would help me, I would do everything I could to make the next 25 years of my life better than the first 25. Mm. Mm. And that was the thing that I always held on to. I wanted to make the next 25 better than the last 25, because the last 25, I was in a lot of trouble. Mm. I was breaking my mama's heart. And I knew I was, you know, everybody thought I was the good kid because the stuff I was doing was way away from everybody's eyesight.
It wasn't in your face, you know? Huh?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody thought I was doing, I was getting into a lot of trouble. But, you know, but I just, you know, get me out of this situation. The next 25 years, I'm gonna do everything I can be better than the first 25. And I would like to think that I held on to that. You know, I would like to think that I haven't been in any major trouble or anything, but that's where it started for me. You
know? Okay, that's good. That's real good. Yeah. And that's what it's about. Like, I don't think it's about being perfect. My last segment was on excellence because, and that's what I named my company. I got an additional company that I got going on, Excellence LLC, and it's an HR consulting firm. I also help with doing resumes and stuff. But I named it Excellence because I think we as African-Americans, we have to strive, not just African-Americans, we as men, we as people from Huff. I work at a huge global organization, part of the government. And in saying that, you know, people from our neighborhood is not necessarily the easy ones to work at these places or in prominent positions. If we work there, we part of the cleaning crew, or we part of the food crew, serving food and stuff like that, which ain't nothing wrong with it, but we're limited on what we can, what they expect us to do. So with me and what I'm doing now is breaking a lot of barriers. My sister-in-law Simone, she just told me the other day, because I just celebrated 3 years at the company, and she was like, look at all the stuff that you're doing. It's not, and I definitely give all glory to God, because it's him that's pushing me, that gave me the insight, that's surrounding me with the right type of people to put me in this position to start doing certain things a different way. But that's why that level of excellence is very important, because it's not meaning being perfect, just like you said. Excellence is just striving to do you, to do your best. Go ahead.
And then, something else also with the self-evaluation that's real important. You have to have a couple people in your circle that can talk to you truthfully. Mm.
You have to have a couple.
I don't mean every friend you got. Nope.
That's good.
You have to have a couple people, one or two, maybe three people that can talk to you, can talk to you candid, can talk to you openly. And when you messing up, they can come to you and say, you messing up. Mm-hmm. You messing up. You know, And you know, if they telling you you messing up, you know you need to check yourself. Uh-huh. You know, I have a couple people in my life like that. And when they telling me I'm messing up or whatever, I know I know. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I gotta look at this a different way. Then mm-hmm. I have a couple people in my life like that, and so that's very, very, very important. It's yeah. not that people trying to tell you what to do or people trying to tell you how to run your life. Everybody with any sense has someone that they listen to that they mm-hmm. get advice from. Hopefully, that person is giving you the right advice, the right way. Mm. You know.
So. That's good. That's good. That I like that. That's the truth. You gotta have accountability partners around
yeah.
you.
Yes. First,
so yeah. I promise that I'm gonna keep these cut to an hour. So before we go, accountability mm-hmm. partners. That's true. So you gotta yeah. have, and I think that the main thing that you said in that was make sure that you can have truth and honest people.
Yeah.
Too many times we surround ourselves with yes people. Yep. And that, yes, people can screw us up worse than not having nobody there at all. But Bert, if like I said, if you just joining in, I'm sorry you caught the end of it. Go back and watch this back because I got one of the most smartest people, and I'm not joking about this when I say it. I'm one of the most smartest people that I know, one of the wisest people that I know, my Uncle Bert. Many of y'all probably know him as Squeaky. Squeaky, we got four more minutes. Is there anything else that you want to lay on these people that talks in reference to accountability or anything like that?
At the end of the day, it comes down to something my mother used to say, and I never understood what she meant by it. She used to say, it's your little red wagon. You could push it or pull it. Mm. And I'm just like, what in the heck is she talking about? Why is she saying that? At the end of the day, it's your problem. The way you move that problem is your decision. You could either push your problem or you could pull your problem, but you have to move it.
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's your little red wagon. You can push it or pull it. So you have to find your way to get past it.
I like that. I like that. I definitely like that. So I really do appreciate you, Unc. I really do appreciate. We can stay on here because I want to keep going after we get off. We gotta get offline because I do want to stay on Facebook only for an hour. But just a FYI, like I said, for everybody out there listening today, I really appreciate you listening to the Wonder Why with L Wonder podcast. Like I said, if you've seen it on my page, I am moving this to the platforms, to the podcast platforms. I'm excited. It's a huge step. This is one of my goals. It's like you said, one of my goals for 2021 was to move this to the actual podcast platforms. So you can catch me on Anchor. You can catch me on Breaker. You can catch me on Google Podcasts, Pocket Podcast, Radio Public. And it is Wonder Why with L Wonder. That's the title of my podcast. I'm also on Spotify. So you can see me on like I said, if you're looking for this podcast, and I will be shifting this also to Facebook, to YouTube live. So to YouTube soon. I'm trying to do some big things. We're trying to get this word out. If you can share this, if you can go ahead and like it, if you can go to my podcast page on Facebook, which is Wonder Why with L Wonder. I believe it just might be Wonder Why 821 or something like that. But it is. I did share this on my Wonder Why page also. Once again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take up too much time, but this your boy L Wonder, and I had a great conversation with my Uncle Bert, Squeaky. And y'all have a good evening. Good